It's important that we lift him up right now again. Whoa, hallelujah. God, we're going to take a space right now and magnify you. We need your presence in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord bless you as you're seated tonight. Thank you, Brother Moon. The letter was dated January 31, 1829. It was a caution that was written by future President Martin Van Buren. He wrote this letter to then sitting President Andrew Jackson. And the idea of the letter was he would put brakes on the future. He writes, "The canal system of this country is being threatened by the spread of a new form of transportation known as the railroads. The federal government must pressure the canals and preserve them for the following reasons." And he states three of them. Number one, if canal boats are supplanted by railroads, serious unemployment will result. Captains, cooks, drivers, repairmen, and lock tenders will be left without means of livelihood, not to mention the numerous farmers now employed in growing hay for horses. His second point in the letter was boat builders would suffer, and tow line and whip and harness makers would be left destitute. And number three, canal boats are absolutely essential to the defense of the United States in the event of the expected trouble with England. The Erie Canal would be the only means by which we could ever move the supply so vital to waging modern war. As you may well know, Mr. President, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed of 15 miles per hour by engines which, in addition to the endangerment of life and limb of passengers, roar and snort their way through the countryside, setting fire to crops, scaring the livestock, and frightening women and children. I like this next part. The Almighty, you know, if nothing else works, get God involved. God said, "The Almighty certainly never intended that people should travel at such breakneck speed." He signs the letter, "Martin Van Buren, Governor, New York." But the truth is, Van Buren had no vision for the future. I want to tell somebody tonight, where there is no vision, there is no future. Can the apostolic church say amen? Amen. I want you young people sitting behind me in this choir tonight to hear this old preacher tell you, we can't lose our vision. We've got to stay focused. The amazing thing is, I read this letter just a few days ago while traveling from the state of Florida back to my home state of Michigan. I was at 33,000 feet, and I asked the pilot as he stood there next to me, I said, "How fast are we going?" He said, 520 miles an hour. Mr. Van Buren would have a heart attack for sure. God give us, and this is my appeal tonight, men and women with vision. Dean Frost wrote, "Apart from God, man can do nothing. And apart from man, God can do nothing. Because God has limited himself to man that he might work through." The writer, the wise man in Proverbs says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." I looked at that scripture and I discovered that the word vision here means to coerce, or it means to be compelled, or it means to move forward. In other words, what he's saying, where there's no vision, there is nothing to coerce us on. I also realize that the word vision here, it means prophecy. And prophecy is the prelude to truth. So when he says there's no vision, the people perish, he's actually saying where there is no truth, there's nothing to compel us on to what we ought to be and what we ought to do. I want to stop for a minute and say thank God for apostolic truth. Thank God that we still believe there's one God. Thank God we still believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost as the evidence through speaking in tongues. Thank God we still believe in baptism in Jesus' name. Thank God we still are a church that believes in separation from the world. We haven't lost sight of who we are. Oh, hallelujah. Edmund Burke said, never despair. But if you despair, press on and work on in despair. In Kenneth Taylor's translation of one of my favorite scriptures, it's recorded in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, let us not get tired doing right, for after a while we will. Somebody say, we will. After a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't discourage and if we will not give up. I've come tonight on this Wednesday night, the very start of this service in Mark 03, and this is my message. I want to tell somebody, never give up. Refuse to give up and just press on. If I can emphasize three words tonight, when I walk away from here, I want you to hear them ring emphatically in your ear. Just press on. There's something worth pressing on to. There's something worth tonight being who we are. There's something because God has purposed in this church in the end time that we just need to press on. Oh, hallelujah. Abraham Lincoln in 1831 failed at business. In 1832, he was defeated for the legislature. In 1833, he failed again at his attempt in business. In 38, he was defeated for speaker. In 40, he was defeated for the electorate. In 43, he was defeated for Congress. Come back in 48, he lost again. In 55, he was defeated for the Senate. But we know what happened. 8 times he failed to fulfill his dream for his life. But in 1860, he was elected the 16th president of these United States of America because he refused to just give up. He said, I'm going to press on. Somebody here tonight, we need to press on beyond our problems. We need to press on beyond our burdens. We need to press on beyond our heartaches. We need to press on beyond our troubles. We need to press on beyond our sickness, beyond our failures, whatever they may be. We just need to press on. We've got a reason to go on. We've got a reason to press on. There's something tonight that's calling us. We can't stay where we are. We must press on. Somebody shout to the Lord tonight, I'm going to press on. Hallelujah. And like Paul promised the church at Galatia, you've been promised a harvest of blessing by God if you'll just press on. Press on when reversals come. Press on when you don't succeed. Press on when you can't see the way. I thought tonight as Brother Godare walked in here, the marvelous revival that God has given in Durham, North Carolina. It did not just happen. But every time there was a setback, Brother Godare, you just pressed on. I know a little bit about where you're from. And I know a little bit about what your makeup is. I know who your daddy is. But thank God, you've got a commitment in your heart to a greater Father. And there's something that just presses you on. Church, revival is ours. Victory is ours. Success is ours, but we can't give up. We can't quit. We just gotta press on. I think Mark Conference is a great platform to catapult us to that place where God wants us to go. We need to be encouraged tonight to press on. Yeah. You see, what we don't understand is maybe, just maybe, the rain is about to cease. And you know a little bit about it here in central Indiana. Just maybe the sun is about to break through those dark clouds if you'll just press on. Maybe the one single quality above all others for success. And I'm sure that's why we all are at a meeting like this, is we want to know the secret. But I would tell you tonight, it's just this simple. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Refuse to quit. And just press on. I know you wanted some great theological disposition on all of this. But I look at these men sitting here tonight on this platform, and there's great wisdom here. But to a man, I'm sure they're going to tell you, we just wouldn't quit. They tried to run us out of town, but we wouldn't go. They tried to shut us down, but we said we're going to keep. Somebody tonight has got to get the resolve in this generation that they had in generations before us. We're just hard-headed enough because we've got truth, and truth compels us to keep going forward. We're not going to quit. We're not going to be satisfied where we are. We're not going to sit still. We're going to press on. I said, I'm going to press on. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'd like to tell somebody sitting in this room tonight who feels you've come to the wall. And whatever it is you're facing just refuses to go away. I told Pastor Mooney just a little while ago back in the office. We've been in a building program for about 5 years. And I told him, I said, if the church knew what I knew, they'd be scared to death because, see, they were following me. And I finally got honest one day with them and I stood up and told the church, I said, I don't have a clue. All you young preachers, you listen to what this guy's telling you. See, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to know it. All we have to know is Him. See, truth is enough to compel me. I said, I feel like the children of Israel. Sometimes we come to that place where we don't know where to go or what to do. So we just press on. This week we got word that we have been approved and our permits have been relinquished unto us, handed to us. And Saturday they're going out to start the ground being moved. 5 years because we refuse to quit. Maybe there's somebody tonight in your life, it's an illness, or it's a disappointment, or it's a failure, or a fear, or a sorrow, or maybe just simply a loneliness, or a hurt, or a discouragement. Whatever it is, the writer said, you will reap if you'll just press on. There is a harvest, a blessing. God is on record tonight. There's nothing that can wrench that away from the child of God that has the tenacity to believe the truth of this book and says, I'm just going to hang in there. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to sit down. I refuse to be quiet. I'm going to press on. Hallelujah! Because tonight victory is for the child of God that refuses to be defeated. That's all you got to do is say, I won't quit. And God says, that's what I've been looking for. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thomas Edison once said, success is 2% inspiration and 98% perspiration. Boy, he's right. I like the inspiration part. But I hadn't got very far in life just being inspired. I had to press. Anything that I've ever got, anything that I've ever attained in life, anything that's ever been positive, I've had to press. I'm going to tell you, that's the way it is. You see, the failure of many businesses is in the next generation who was not a part of the birthing of the process. When it was handed them success,
They didn't understand the price that was paid to get it there. We apostolics in this generation must understand that what it took to get it here is what it's going to take to keep it here. We got to press on. Calvin Coolidge said nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Oh, he must have been apostolic. I mean, we've been spit on. We've had tomatoes thrown at us. We've been called fanatic and holy rollers and all kinds of names. We've been called a cut, a cult. We've been banished. We've been pushed aside. We've been overlooked. But we're still here. Somewhere tonight, maybe on the web, it's being webcast around the world. There's somebody sitting somewhere in a faraway place. We're here. I said, we're still here. He said, there's nothing in the world that can take the place of persistence. Listen to this. Talent will not. Well, I'm in the right place right now. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. He said, unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. That's right, Brother Mooney. Failures. He says, persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, and here he says it, press on, has solved and always will solve the problem of the human race. And so tonight, I would preach to you this first evening. Keep on praying. Keep on working. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep on trying. Keep on pressing on. Somebody just needs to hang in there a little longer. Somebody needs to get down on their knees one more time. Somebody needs to get up and say it can be done. God said it. I shall reap if I just will press on. I'm encouraged tonight. I'm encouraged tonight. When you've got a battle in your life, just press on. When there's enemies lurking in the shadows, just press on. If you have more questions than you have answers, you just need to hang in there and press on. I read the account of March 15th. 1915. The historian said when the British naval attacked the Turks at the Dardanelles, it was a terrific battle. He said that three ships had been sunk, and at noon, the British Navy withdrew. This is the part that's stunning. Without victory. Somebody say without victory. But you see, what they didn't realize, what they were unaware of, what they did not know, was that the Turks were moments away, the writer said, from running out of ammunition. And they themselves were preparing to surrender. Had the British only been persistent a little longer, had they only pressed on just a little more, the victory would have been theirs. The sad thing is, the historian recorded that had they continued the press, millions of lives would have been spared and saved. But they gave up short of the victory. Napoleon Bonaparte said, in every battle, there's a 15-minute period when victory could go either way. He said the general, here it is, who throws everything. Somebody say everything. You see, this is not the hour to hold reserves. This is not the hour to be comfortable in the battle. This is not the moment that we sit back and calculate and ponder as to what we ought to do. There's more to inspiration now. This is time for perspiration. But he said the general who throws everything he has into the battle at that moment, at that time, will win. That's where we are tonight, ladies and gentlemen. There is no quality so necessary for success than just simply pressing on. The little woman who had been sick for 12 years, she got her healing because she pressed on. The blind man who sat by the way, he received his sight because he refused to be still and he pressed on. Israel captured their Canaan. David defeated his giant. The early church turned their world upside down for the name of Jesus. The reason is all because they refused to give up. They refused to sit down. They refused to be quiet. And they just simply pressed on. Do you hear the message tonight? We are led by example in this book that tells us with God we will reap if we'll just press on. Somebody say, I'm going to press on. You need to verbalize it. Shout it, I'm going to press on. But preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. Press on. But you don't know how tough it's been. It doesn't matter. Just press on. But you don't know what's been. It doesn't matter. Just press on. But you don't know how. It doesn't matter. You just need to make up your mind. I'm going to press on. Matthew 26 records one of the most interesting stories in all the Bible. It's the time when Jesus led His disciples to the place of prayer. As the disciples sat there with Him, they fell asleep, the Bible tells us, and the Scripture just simply speaks in a sentence, speaking of Jesus, and He went a little farther. One translation I love said, He went a little beyond them. See, it doesn't always take a lot. That's where we don't understand. See, with God, you don't have to have a lot. You don't have to have a lot of talent. You don't have to have a lot of brilliance. You don't have to have a lot of ability. You don't have to have a lot of anything. Just a lot of Him. Somebody needs to be encouraged tonight. He went a little beyond them. And I'm not in any wise, please, trying to minimize Calvary. That's not my point. But too often, when we emphasize Calvary, we do by de-emphasizing Gethsemane. But hear me tonight. It's in Gethsemane that Jesus goes beyond them. I might add, there can never be a resurrection without a Gethsemane. There's a lot of folk that have been to Golgotha. Some thieves, some murderers, some criminals, and for a lot of causes short of the cause of Christ. But it was at Gethsemane, while the disciples slept, the Bible says that Jesus prayed, not my will. It wasn't on Calvary, it was at Gethsemane. But thy will. Some things can only happen at your Gethsemane. Some things can only take place in your life when you're willing to go beyond them. There must be a time when all of us come face to face with the purpose of God and the will of God in our lives. But I'm afraid tonight to say that there's far too many of us who have declared discipleship with our lips, but we have refused to sell all and forsake all and follow Him. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. There's far too many who have failed to leave behind the sleeping crowd and press on to that place that God has planned for them. in this end time is somebody that's willing to stand up. A church that's willing to be a part from everything and everybody else and say, we're going to go a little beyond them. We're going to go on to miracles. We're going to go on to wonders. We're going to go on to holiness. We're going to go on to truth, because it's the truth that's going to compel us, that's going to move us. We're going to press up.
In the 24th chapter of Genesis, you know the story well. When Abraham was old, he sent his faithful servant to bring home a wife for his son. And so the servant took 10 camels, the Bible said, and gifts, many, and went to the city of Nahor in Mesopotamia. It was there he encounters Rebekah. I'll not go into the story. You know about the camels and the water and all of that. And when he tells her and reveals to her the purpose of his journey and why he was there to visit, preparation now is being made for her to return with him and become the bride of Isaac. Now she encounters her family. She looks at those that are dearest and closest to her. And the family asked him, is there any chance that Rebekah might stay behind a few days? Now, church, I'm going to tell you something. We don't have time to stay behind. How many believe God has a purpose for this end time church? But the servant says, and here it is, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. He's telling them in simple terms, I just gotta press on. I can't stay here. I'm not on vacation. What he's asking of Rebekah is that she would go beyond her borders of comfort. And she would move beyond her borders of familiarity. And that she would go to a place that God has purposed for her. And here we are in a desperate race tonight against time. But the enemy will not stand still for any of us. And whatever it is that God has purposed for our lives, whatever it is we need to understand, like the servant of Abraham, we do not have a few days to waste. We don't have time to stay still. We don't have time to go on vacation, if you will, please. The church has got to press on because God has purpose for us. Jesus said, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brother, or sisters, or father, or mother, you know it, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and should inherit eternal life. He went, Jesus did, a little beyond them. Maybe there are some things that we just need to move on past. Maybe there are some things in your life in particular that are holding or keeping you back from that place that God has for you. Maybe there's something that is hindering you tonight. But each one of us in the church, we are as the servant of the Lord. And we are commissioned to prepare and to perfect and to present a bride to the Master. We've been endued with apostolic power and apostolic authority in this end time. And it is that we might fulfill the task that God has placed in our hand. We've got to press on, church. It's an exciting hour. There's never been a day more exciting than the day we're living in right now. I thank God for this opportunity to stand up in the end of the age and proclaim there's still a church that believes truth. And there's still a church that has fire in her belly. And there's still a church that refuses to stand still. We're determined. We're going to press on. Shout it to the Lord. That's why I believe tonight, and I'm trying to encourage the church in Auburn Hills, that we must refuse and resist anything that would hold us back from the purpose of God. We've got to press on. Notice, it was Rebekah's closest. It was her family that tried to hinder her journey.
I'm not going to go there. I'm going to let some of you wise gentlemen, much more seasoned than I, go there. But I'm going to tell you, if this church moves past truth, I'm not going there. And if this church sets still, I'm not going there. Because the writer says in Genesis 24:57, this is the words of her family. Let her make her own decision. In other words, that's what they said. Let her make her own decision. So they turn to her in verse 58. She wheels around and she says, I will go. That's what I'm asking for tonight. I'm asking for somebody that's willing to stand up at Mark 03 and say, Lord, wherever it is, I will go. Whatever it is, I will go. I refuse to be intimidated. I refuse to have anybody stop me from the purpose and the will of God. It was Jesus' own disciples that He went beyond to complete the purpose that He had on earth. Sometimes we just got to move out of the crowd. It may be family. It may be friends. It may be vocation. It may be hobbies. It may be relationships. It may be sickness. It may be hurts or habits or fads or family. I don't care if it's our youth group, whatever it is. If God leads this church on, we've got to go. We can't be afraid. We've just got to press on beyond them. Hallelujah. There are some things we just got to get beyond. Amen. One thing is not true. Well, I just keep coming back to that for some reason. Hallelujah. Let me conclude with this tonight. Let's take a look as we walk up Moriah. It was a turning point. Everybody say a turning point. It was a turning point in the life of Abraham. He had some things he had to get beyond. And the only way he could do that is at Moriah. There comes a turning point in every one of our lives where we place ourselves in the will of God. But to get beyond those things that would hinder us and hold us back, we've got to go there. Pleasant? No. Fun? No. Again, I make reference to this platform. These wonderful men are here not by accident, but they sit before you tonight, and many out there. I'm not trying to exclude anyone. Whatever successes we have, it comes from men and women who have been willing, in spite of the obstacle or the hindrance or the hurt, to press on. Things are going to happen at Moriah unlike anywhere else, because Moriah is that place where you go beyond whatever it is that's trying to hold you back. I don't know what it is tonight, but I know in a congregation like this, represented here, are many phases of maturity in the gospel. Many levels in the process. I don't know what it is and where you are and what that thing is that you're facing. But I tell you, you've got to get to that place where you come face to face with that thing that's going to hold you back, and you press on. Moriah is where a friend is made of God. Moriah is the place where Israel is made out of a Jacob. Moriah is where you'll find a Paul that comes out of a Saul, or a king out of a shepherd boy. When you're willing to press on, it'll not only change you, but it will change the world that's around you. You can't press on and not leave a wake behind you and all around you. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's the reason I believe that God strategically saves people in a certain family or in a certain community, or in a certain school, or in a certain neighborhood, or on a certain job, because God is entrusting you to press on. And when you do, when you come to your Moriah in your life, and God makes you a king, I'm telling you, you're going to affect everybody around you. You see it over and over again. It's recorded in this blessed book. The lives and the stories of men and women who went beyond circumstance. Our musicians come, if you will. Who went beyond situation. Who pressed beyond the crowd. They surrendered themselves to the purpose and the will of God. And what a difference their lives have made in their world. God's calling somebody here even tonight. Maybe it's a young person. Maybe not. You struggle with whatever that thing is. It keeps pulling you back. Keeps delaying what you know in your heart that God has pressed you on to. The truth has said you've got to move to. Tonight the Lord is saying, if you will, I will. I'm absolutely convinced tonight that there's no power in this world that can stop, that can hold back, that can defeat the child of God if they'll just press on. Because Paul wrote to the church at Galatia and he said, church, you will reap if you'll just press on. It's so simple tonight. God's not made it so difficult that only a few of us can get there. God has made a way tonight for everybody in this house at whatever level and stage you are in your spiritual progression to move on in His purpose and in His plan. Again, let me say, just press on.
Hallelujah. Would you thank the man of God for preaching to us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many heard the word? Let's raise our hands and ask the Lord to give us new strength, to give us new determination. God, we're determined to press on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Why don't you let your spirit say, I refuse to quit. I refuse to turn around. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, let's thank the Lord. He's going to see you through. Don't be discouraged. Don't be weary. Hallelujah, hallelujah.